Right, y'all go ahead and be seated, if you will. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27, and again, it's just going to be, it'll be a short message, more of a devotional type, kind of a challenge for you tonight. Acts chapter 27, I'll take just a moment and set up the text before we begin to read. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is under arrest, and he's aboard a ship that's en route to Rome. And all of this, of course, is being detained and arrested as a result of his preaching and his stance for the gospel, okay? And so he's en route to Rome, and along with him on the same ship is several other prisoners, and of course the crew of the ship is there. There's armed guards that are transporting the prisoners and responsibility for holding security there on the ship. And they get caught up in a huge storm at sea, which seems like, at the point that we're beginning to read, that it looks like it's going to take all of their lives, that they're just going to go to the bottom of the sea. So we'll begin in verse 15, and it'll be several verses here. Stay hooked with me. Verse 15 says, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up under the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when we had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed in tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars for many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among us, but of the ship." In other words, he's saying, we're not going to lose any people. The only thing we're going to lose is the ship. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Now, I want you to notice in verse 37 quickly, it says, "And we were in all in the ship 216 souls." And so that's just simply telling us that in total, the crew, everybody involved, prisoners, everybody, there were 276 people on the ship. And amidst this, think about this, amidst this particular group, there would have been a sea captain, okay, the man in charge of the ship. His courageous crew. There would have been a Roman centurion, which was a high-ranking Roman official that was over 100 soldiers that were at his beck and call. And so there would have been, of course, the security officers or soldiers that followed that centurion. And then there would have been scores of hardened criminals from all different walks of life and in all different degrees of crime, and of course then there would have been a group of very worthy seamen that worked on the ship. And so there's just this variety of people, and out of the whole bunch, who was the strong person that was a stabilizing portion of the situation? It was Paul. And when you think about that, I bring this tonight because we need strong people. We need people that will be a stabilizing force in our world, in our families, in our schools, in our church, wherever. We need individuals like the Apostle Paul that will step up and take the lead and be a sound, strong, stabilizing force. So Paul, he wasn't an official on the ship. He wasn't anybody notable on the ship. He was just another prisoner. He was on his way as a prisoner to Rome to stand trial for his crimes, potentially to be executed, okay? Paul would have been the least likely person on that ship to be able to display the strength that was needed, but yet he did. And it says in verse 25, he says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." It's pretty amazing when you think about it. Paul was hearing the same howling wind outside the ship. He's seeing all the crashing waves around him. He had witnessed day after day the crew and everybody doing everything they could. They'd thrown the tackling off the ship. They had taken the ship's load of the grain and the load that it was bearing and thrown it overboard as a last resort. The ship, as we read there, was being swept towards the rocks each day, getting closer towards shore where it would be broken up. And all of this stuff would have been just as evident to Paul as it was to everyone else. But I want you to notice something unique about Paul. Verse 23, it says, "There stood by me this night an angel of God whose I am and who I serve." See, what was unique about Paul and that whole ship, and what separated him from the rest of the people, is he belonged to God. He said, "I serve God. He's responsible for me. He's the one that I belong to. He's the one that's going to take care of me." Okay, and he stood up, and Paul, no pun intended, but he's not in the same boat as the rest of these people. Paul knew the Lord, and the rest of them did not. And so he's essentially standing up and being strong as a Christian, and he's the calming effect on this other 275 people that were on the ship. And Paul was a guy that was small in stature according to the scripture. And so Paul was not this big presence, this big charismatic guy. In fact, the Bible talks about his speech being somewhat contemptible. He was not this great statesman in spite of what you might think as you read his letters. Paul was just an everyday guy that was strong enough to know that God was his God. And he says, "God, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right." Now, you may be here this morning, or this evening rather, and you say, "Brother Chris, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I believe God. I mean, I know God, but I'm just not strong." Well, I'm here to tell you, you can be. You can be just like Paul. Paul wasn't a superhero. He didn't have any kind of superhuman powers any more than the next guy. He was just a normal guy like you and I. He was a tent maker by trade. But Paul had something that we all have to have if we want to be strong, and Paul had faith. Here's what God had told him. Let's read verse 23 and 24. He says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am," this is the God I belong to, "and who I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." You see what he's saying? God's saying to Paul, "You can't die in a shipwreck if I'm going to get you to Rome." Okay? So he's telling Paul, "You're going to be all right." And Paul believed God. He says in verse 25, "I believe God. It's going to be even as he said. He says he's going to get me to Rome. I don't know what's going to happen to this ship, but I'm going to Rome." And what he tells me is the rest of you guys are going to live through this deal as well. And so Paul believed what God said with every fiber of his being, and therein lies our strength. When we take God at his word and say, "This is what God said, I believe it. I'm going to trust in it." You see, Paul had been let down by almost everything around him. Paul had been let down by the system, the judicial system. That's the reason he was locked up and going to Rome in the first place, is because he'd been falsely accused. And now he's been detained for several months at this point. And the system had just let him down. Paul had been let down by the ship. This would have been a state-of-the-art ship that they was on, and it should have been very worthy of getting him to his destination, but at this point, it's falling to pieces, and it's not long before it's going to be dashed upon the stones and on the rocks. It's let Paul down. The captain of the ship let Paul down. He would have been a seasoned sailor. He probably had been behind the helm for many years, earning his stripes as a high-ranking official or seaman. And he couldn't at this point so much as lift a prayer for his people. He was so at the end of himself. So the captain had let Paul down. The government had let Paul down. They had gone as far as placing Paul in the custody of a centurion. A centurion was so high-ranking and influential that, again, he had 100 soldiers that were at his beck and call. It was a big deal. And they assigned a centurion to Paul to make doggone sure he left Caesarea and got all the way to Rome. They put him in good hands. We're going to make sure you get there, Paul. Even the government couldn't control the circumstances. And so they let Paul down as well. So you see, everything around Paul had left him high and dry. Everything had fallen short. But yet Paul is able to say, "Be of good cheer. I believe God." You see, God would never let him down. He knew God would never let him down. And it's when you and I realize that if God tells us something that he's going to do, it doesn't matter what is happening around us, how things are falling apart, how many people have let you down, how many people have disappointed you, it doesn't matter. God is going to come through with what he says he will do. And you can never underestimate the power and influence of one believing Christian. Paul was one of 276 on that ship, and he was the stabilizing force. I've seen this before in families. That one person. It doesn't have to be daddy either. Sometimes it's just some little old petite mom. That's the stabilizing force of the family, the strength that says, "All right, guys, it's going to be all right." Maybe it's one in a church. Maybe one pillar of the church that's always, besides the pastor, that's always given strength. Maybe it's somebody in the workplace or in the classroom, somebody that just has that strength and that presence of mind to say, "You know what? It's going to be okay. And God's going to take care of this." The power of one believing Christian. You think about Noah. He was one man that believed. And because of that, his family was saved, and all mankind, or the human race rather, was saved. Daniel was just one believer. But Daniel made up his mind he was not going to stop praying in his regular way, and he was not going to bow down to the idols. And he stood up, and because of that, there were many people began to follow and believe in Daniel's God. Moses was just one man. Heard from God out of a burning bush. It would have been something that what was being told him that he was going to be doing would have sounded like fairy tales. It would have seemed outlandish that he was going to go do what God said he was going to do. But he believed God, and because of that, a whole nation of Hebrew people were led out of bondage. Elijah was just one man, one prophet, that refused to yield to the pressure of the society around him. And he stood on Mount Carmel against Ahab and the evil king and all the false prophets, and he defeated them all. You see, one man. You get outside the Bible, and of course you could go through history and you could point out one man after one man, and not just man, women as well. In the 4th century, there was a history tells us, I've heard this story many times, and I've read it. There are some variations in the telling of it, but the gist of it is this. There was a one man, he was a monk named Telemachus in ancient Rome in 400 AD, and that would have been after the time of Constantine being saved, and now there is a state religion. This is where the Roman Catholicism actually began, okay, back in there. And it was a time of the games, the gladiator games, which we know some about how brutal those competitions were and how vile and blood. It's such a bloodthirsty deal that was involved with these competitions. And what was happening was the emperor at that time was supposed to be a Christian, okay? But all these games are taking place under his watch and his authority. And Telemachus was so appalled by it. And Christians were doing much like happens today. They were indulging. They were going to the games. They were a part of the bloodthirsty crowds. The Christians were, that should have been able to say, no, I don't want anything to do with something that vile. But they wouldn't do it. And this monk, Telemachus, he was just one man that was just appalled by the whole thing. And one day they were having the games, and he stepped in and saw what was taking place. And he leapt over the fence into the arena as the two gladiators fought. And he raised his hands to the air, and he says, in the name of God, forbear, forbear. And he stood there, and the people in the crowds began to mock and they thought it was comical. And the first thing you know, they got caught up, and they started telling the gladiators to thrust him through, kill him. Kill him. And yet he would not leave the arena. He knew the danger he was in. The gladiators knocked him out of the way a time or two, trying to get him to just go away. And he wouldn't do it. And he just kept saying, in the name of God, forbear. And finally, one of the gladiators did just exactly what the crowd was trying to get them to do. And he thrust him through. And Telemachus died right there in the arena. It would seem that that would be the end of it. And they'd be cleared out and it would all be over. But what happened that day? It seemed that the crowd and everybody that witnessed it that day had a change of heart and began to realize how brutal they had become when this good monk, this spiritual man, had died right there in the arena. And they left the arena one by one that day, and there became a movement to get rid of the games, and the emperor himself outlawed the gladiator games, and that's the way it stopped. And history supports that. You see, it's one man. Now, it was in his death, but one man that was strong enough to say, this ain't right. This is not right. I want you to notice, and then we'll get on with this. I want you to notice what Paul said in verse 25. He says, I believe God. He didn't say, I believe in God. Okay, there's a huge difference. Greater percentage of people, if you ask them today, they'll say, I believe in God. But Paul said much more when he says, I believe God. God says he's going to get me to Rome. That's where I'm going. Can't die in a shipwreck if I'm going to Rome. God says we're going to lose this ship, but all of you guys are going to be saved. All 200, every last one of you is going to be saved. And God said it, so I believe God. God has spoken. I believe in his truthfulness. I believe in his power to carry these things out. I believe, as he says in verse 25 there, that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, folks, that's faith. If there's anything we need today in our society, in our families, in our churches, in our government, it's individuals that will say, I believe God. Individuals that will show strength and stability in a chaotic, unstable, without any direction world that we live in. We're not going to have a verse of invitation here tonight because I told you we'd abbreviate this as much as possible. But I challenge you to ask yourself, do I show strength in the groups that I'm in, whether it be my family, whether it be my circle of friends, whether it be in my church, or am I a stabilizing force? You can be. It can be as simple as being able to calm the environment around you and say, look, guys, this is going to work out. Let's pray about it. It can be as simple as saying, you know what? I don't know how things are going to play out, but I know this. We're born again. So we win. Whatever happens, we're going to go to heaven. Because that's what God said he was going to do. He's able to do it. Whatever the case is, these are the things that we can have just like Paul did. Paul was a little fella. He was awkward fella according to Scripture, contemptible in his speech. But yet out of that whole ship, he was the one that says, guys, it's going to be all right. I'd kind of like to be that person. I want to be that strong person. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss from here. Father, thank you for the time you've given us together. And appreciate the faithfulness of this crowd. And Lord, it doesn't, as has already been said, it doesn't matter how small the crowd is. We've worshiped, we've learned from your word today. And again, I thank you, Lord God, for these people that are here. And we know, Lord God, there are many more that are sick and would have been here otherwise. Father, bring healing to our people. And Lord, we pray that you would just put a stop and just squash this whole virus thing that's going around, whether it be COVID or any other virus or flu or anything else. And I pray, Father, that you'll just continue to give us strength in our church. I pray that you'll help each one of us as individuals to be willing to believe you and take you at your word and be strong wherever we may be. Father, I appreciate your goodness. I thank you for the Lord's day. It's been good. Bless David, Lord, as he travels, he and CJ, let them have a good time, enjoy their family, and bring them back here safely next week. And Father, we thank you, and we love you, appreciate you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, y'all tell David we got out of here at 6:30.